If you listened in to the Just Jesus Radio Network last week at this time, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, then you would have heard part one of my message. Are you ready for it? Fear. Fear. One word. Fear. Well, today we're going to finish the message and do fear number two. So we'll complete the message, okay? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me, Lord, to voice this message that you placed in my heart. It's a real joy, Lord, and a privilege to be able to reach people of every race and creed throughout the world, Lord, through the medium of radio, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the messages that I bring forth every week will stimulate their hearts, Lord, and if their belief is a little bit weak, that it will strengthen them, Lord. Oh, Lord, be glorified this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And we're ready to go. All right. Fear. Part 2. Fear. Wow. You know, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, we read, "The wicked will be silent in darkness." Then man invented his own light, and the silence became deafening. Wow. Can you imagine the silence being deafening? I've heard that saying a number of times. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? How something that's silent can be deafening. But it's true. It's true. Having been an old vet here, or still an old vet, still kicking anyway, I realize that point when I'm dug in somewhere, no man's land, and all you can hear is the silence. And it is almost deafening. Oh, yes, it is. The wicked will be silent in darkness. You know, when Christ went to the cross, he redeemed us out of the darkness into the light. His light. Tell me, are you living in his light today? Or are you still in that murky darkness that you can't seem to find your way and everything just doesn't work for you? Oh, I pray that you've given yourself over to the Lord Jesus. He's waiting to hear from you. And you know, if you attend one of those churches where there's more entertaining than there is scripture reading and praying, then you might want to go out the door and check out, how about King James 1611, Bible-believing church. Oh, yes. If you don't hear the gospel there, you'll not hear it anywhere. No, you won't indeed. No. You know, Proverbs 14:9 says, "The way of the wicked is darkness." You got that? The way of the wicked is darkness. Wow. If we look into Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, we'll read, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Wow. Heavy stuff, isn't it? Are you walking in darkness? Are you? Have you not made up your mind about whether or not you want to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I pray before this message is done that you will have made up your mind and it will be the right decision. Please stay tuned. Yes, you know, the title I've given my sermon is Fear Number Two. Fear Number Two. Now, there's no relationship to that which permeates your television. So we're not talking about being spooked on a spooky movie over your TV, okay? Basically, you know, there are only two main fears. Two main fears that are common to men. Two of them. That they are the fear, now listen carefully, the fear of the unknown and the fear of that which is known. That's easy to hear, to understand, to differentiate, isn't it? The fear of the unknown and the fear of that which is known. Ooh, strange as it may seem, the fear of the unknown is made manifest, I get this, by fear of the known. Are you getting confused yet? I pray not. Just listen through it again. All right? The fear of the unknown is made manifest by fear of the known. Now, what is known? Well, it's an easy question. Has an easy answer. Known is all that the Word of God has to say in the Holy Scriptures. When you read your Bible from front to back, then you understand what God is saying, if you are in prayer about it. Everything looks a little bit uncertain in the beginning, but read it over and over and pray. Pray without ceasing. It'll come alive to you. I know that for a fact. What is unknown? Well, it's that which the unbeliever will not allow his heart to accept. You say, oh, well, that's foolishness. I don't believe that. That can't be. No. Come on now. Who are you trying to kid? You know, you've heard that before, haven't you? Huh? Well, please pay close attention to what God has laid upon my heart. Please, pay close attention. It can mean heaven or hell to you. Fear itself is generated by that which is known and also by that which is unknown. Unknown. Most everyone knows that Christianity is derived from one's faith and belief in the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ on the cross, don't we? I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. Jesus went to Calvary to suffer and bleed and died for the sin of the whole world. Not just for you and me and him across the street, no, or up the hill, no, for the whole world. He shed his blood for the sin of the whole world, which means everybody in this world has that opportunity to point themselves to the cross and get saved. Jesus is waiting. He did it for you and for me. He's waiting. Most everyone knows this. Do you know it? He went to Calvary to suffer and die for the sin of the whole world, and whosoever believes of his atoning blood and resurrection, well, they shall live forever with all the saints in heaven. Now, a lot of people think, well, live forever on this earth? No, never on this earth. Nobody lives forever on this earth. Not even Methuselah. Nobody. But there's an afterlife. If you don't believe that, if you think that this is all there is, what you can touch, what you can hear, what you can see, if you think that's the end of it, when that's all gone, there's nothing left, you are sadly mistaken and you will regret it, not just for a month or a year, but for all eternity. All eternity. The resurrection. You shall live forever with all the saints in heaven. How can you turn down an offer like that? Now, what happened at the cross, well, was the most horrific, yes, horrific, yet most wonderful. Hey, do they go against each other, horrific and wonderful? Well, yes, they apply to the cross. What happened needed to happen, and it was horrific, but the result was wonderful, wonderful. Keep listening, you'll know why. This was the most horrific yet wonderful act and sacrifice the world would ever know. You know, the Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father, well, it took place on that cruel cross so that we, every sinner that believed, would be set free. I'm saying set free from the penalty of sin. You may say, what sin? I ain't no sinner. Well, I beg your pardon. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Oh, yes. The price was paid, and what a price it was. Enter fear. Fear. Was Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, stricken with fear? Was our Lord beside himself with fear, knowing what we must go through? I gotta say, no. No. Even though he took the form of a man, he was still God. God incarnate. Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yes, he is. Now, pay very close attention to what is said next, will you? Okay? Now, you are about to hear proof positive that God the Father and Jesus the Son are separate, yet one in the same. Now, that's another message, but you are going to hear what I'm saying here. And if you believe it, you're on your way. That's the first step. And without believism, there is no heavenly home. None. Scripture, well, John 30, verse 30. Jesus is speaking. Yes, he is. I and my Father are one, he says. Now, turn to John 20, verse 17. John 20, verse 17. Jesus said, I ascend unto my Father and, get this next word now, your Father. Okay? You can make God your Father if you believe in Jesus and what he did at Calvary. You know, it's quite simple. Yet it must be strongly understood. Oh, yes, strongly. Now, who was Jesus talking to? Mary Magdalene? Was Mary Magdalene a believer? Of course. Okay. As a born-again believer in Jesus, the Christ, can we automatically become sons and daughters of the living God? Through adoption. You got that? That's the only way. Through adoption. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, was not adopted. He was begotten. Begotten of God, the Father. The only begotten. No other was begotten of God. None. Upon this earth, we who are born of a man and woman are begotten of them, our parents. Okay? That's easy to understand, isn't it? We are a part of their flesh. If a child is taken, say, from an orphanage, and you want to be their parent, then they are not a part of your flesh or bone. No, they are adopted. And nothing can change that. Not a thing. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. When we are born again now, that's when we receive Christ as our Savior. When we are born again in the Spirit, we become sons and daughters of the living God. Now get these last two words. By adoption. By adoption. Now, when Jesus raises us up to be with Him in glory, when that day comes, and oh, I can hardly wait, then he will change. He will change. Now listen carefully. He will change our vile bodies, That's our corrupt fleshly bodies. He will change our body from its corrupt state into that which is, here's the big happy, joyful word, incorruptible. You see, corruption becomes incorruptible when it's taken or given to the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's what you have to look forward to. Not hell, eternal hell, no, which is the only alternative. There's no body sleep in a grave. You don't just pass away and that's it. No. It's either heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ, or it's hell in the presence of the evil one, the devil. Oh. Now, the question has been asked. Because we are born again and have a body like Christ, then do we not share his begottenness with the Father? Let me read that again. It might be a little difficult to grasp. Because we are born again, that means believe in Christ, and have a body like Christ when he was crucified, then do we not share his begottenness with the Father? The answer is no. No. We are still not begotten of the Father. There's the key phrase, begotten of the Father. We are received of the Father. We are adopted of the Father, but not begotten of the Father. You know, there are several theories concerning this issue of begotten, especially when you bring in the new birth and being new creatures in Christ. Now, be careful. There are red herrings all over the place. You know what a red herring is, don't you? It's a lie. It's something that's not true. Okay? So beware of red herrings. Stick to the Scriptures. Stick to the Scriptures. Now, Jesus went to the cross. Right? That's easy to understand. And on the cross, he prayed to his Father. He prayed to his Father, asking him to forgive those who carried out the crucifixion on him. You know, the soldiers, the townspeople, whomever, who helped to crucify him, spat upon him, threw stones at him. He asked his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'm not saying they don't know they're casting stones or bricks or whatever the case may be, sticks. No. I mean, anybody knows they're doing that if they're doing it. But what Jesus is saying to the Father here is, they do not understand who I am, who he is, who Jesus is, why he's there on the cross, why he must suffer and bleed and die. They don't understand that they are actually carrying forth with a torture that does not need to be done. All that needs to be done is belief. Believe. Believe. You know, it was here that Jesus assured one of the thieves on the cross next to him that he would soon be in paradise with Christ because of his testimony, his belief. Then Jesus, when he said in John 19:30, it is finished. And in Luke 23, he said to his Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then he gave up the ghost, which means he died. Right? That's not hard to understand, isn't it? But he said to the thief, before he died, he said, I tell you, you shall be with me in paradise this day. Oh, wow! How's that? If you were on the cross, would you not ask Jesus to save you? Would you not believe in him after you lived a whole life of sin and who knows what else? Would you not? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Okay, now stay with me, stay with me. Listen carefully. If we turn to Luke 23:44, it's important that you hear this. We read, and it was about the sixth hour, that's 12 noon, okay? And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m., right? Now, God brought the darkness upon the earth. You know why he did that? He wasn't trying to be funny. He wasn't saying, oh, well, look, if you don't want to look at him, okay, I'll bring the darkness. You can't. No. Because he, God the Father, could not look upon his own Son laden down with the sins of the whole world. That's why. That's why the Father could not look upon the Son. Oh, your sins, my sins. Now, nobody ever seems to mention this part of the crucifixion, the darkness, huh? Remember how we began this message? Now we are all well versed in the actual crucifixion. But little is said about where the 3 hours of darkness came from. It came from God the Father. He brought it down. And you can be sure that those who stood there in witness of the crucifixion shivered in their boots. Why was the darkness there? As a covering over the sin of the world. As a covering over the sin of the world. You see, God cannot look upon sin. He's too holy. He cannot look upon sin. And his Son, Jesus Christ, was bearing it all the sin of the whole world in his body. Our sin, my sin, your sin. Have you got that? I pray so. Those tremendous words Jesus spoke from the cross, it is finished. It is finished means exactly that. The ransom was paid. The debt was settled. Hear me well, people. It was Christ who took our shame. It was Christ whom they whipped with the cat of nine. It was Christ whom they spat upon and pulled out his beard. It was Christ whom they nailed to that cross. It was Christ whom they stripped of his garments. It was the Redeemer of mankind whom they pierced with a spear. It was the only begotten of the Father who died a death so agonizing and barbaric that humanity could not even begin to sense his suffering. It was the Son of the living God who cried out with his last breath, "It is finished!" Have you got that? It was finished, never to be repeated. Our debt he paid. Our shame he crucified. Our place he took upon the tree. Jesus Christ, the sinless one. He did it for us, for you, for me. But why? Because he loves us. There's no greater love than that, is there, that one would lay down their lives for another. Then, at the sixth hour, place yourself there now, at the sixth hour, God the Father turned his back. He got this, God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son. So holy, so righteous, so perfect is God that he could not look upon his suffering Son hanging there on that cross, burdened down with the sin of the whole world. It was then he sent a great darkness upon the earth, a darkness that would last for 3 hours until they had removed the sin-cursed body of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, and placed him in a borrowed tomb. Do you understand, people? Do you understand how holy, how great our God is? Do you? He cannot and will not look upon sin. He is too holy. Too holy. Oh, yes. Won't you come to Jesus if you don't know him already as your Savior? If you haven't come to the cross, if you haven't given your life over to Jesus, won't you come to him? Won't you give him praise and glory and thanks for his great sacrifice? Won't you? Won't you accept him right now as your Savior? Even if you already have, will you not get down on your knees right now and tell him how much you love him? Thank him for his shed blood and the veil that was lifted. And know for sure that the darkness shall have no more dominion over you, the darkness being the sin of the world. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I pray this message has been a blessing to you. And I pray you will tell others to tune in and listen to it as well. There's so much that we fail to understand as we go through life. What was done for us from a God who loves us, a God who gave his only begotten Son. I want to thank you for listening, and I'll pray for you. And I pray that you tune in again next week for another message from the Word of God. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.